It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What can Walmart's earnings tell us about the economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, the world's largest retailer says U.S. sales were down for the eighth straight quarter. What is going on with Walmart? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down right now. The Dow is down 72 points at 12,475. The NASDAQ down 0.4%, and the S&P 500 down about 0.25%. A Senate hearing is about to get underway in Washington regarding the financial health of the U.S. Postal Service, which lost $2.2 billion last quarter and says it may not be able to pay its bills come September. Now let's get to the world's largest retailer, Walmart. It's a company so big it is its own economic indicator. Walmart said this morning that profits jumped almost 4% last quarter, but U.S. sales were down for the eighth straight quarter. Julie Neiman is an analyst with Smith Moore & Company, and she's with us live every Tuesday from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Jeremy.
So what do these Walmart numbers tell you?
Well, basically, it says that in spite of incredible efficiencies, because they are the biggest, and we're seeing here they're not immune from rising costs, and that's fuel and transportation. And even China, who's the biggest source of product, costs are rising. They can't squeeze the costs out much more, hurts profit margins. And it's the sheer size. They own the discount space in America. Kmart doesn't even count anymore. So mathematically, when you have a big percentage, you can't rise significantly if you already own it. So you go for the small growth, wholesale and international.
And Julie, as you say, Walmart is a discount store. In that case, would falling sales in the U.S. mean that maybe the economy is getting better? People are moving up.
Well, it's better and worse. You know, you've got an income reversal here. Higher income is moving back up to Target, up to Dillard's, up to Saks. On the other hand, lower income is still moving lower, and the Walmart shopper has gone down to Family Dollar Store and the Dollar Tree, and that is continuing here. So their share of the pie is actually getting smaller there, and the dollars available for spending are significantly lower on the lower income side because of fuel cost. Middle income, the money is going to the gas tank, not into the shopping cart.
Julie Neiman, analyst at Smith Moore & Company, thanks so much.
You bet.
Well, as of last night, Portugal is the third European country to get a bailout. And as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports, all these financial rescues are making some Europeans feel a bit queasy about their union.
At a garbage collection center in Lisbon, workers are on strike protesting the terms of Portugal's bailout. They object to the deep cuts in public spending aimed at reducing the country's debts. Union organizer Luis Dias.
But who is paying these debts? It's the workers, the Portuguese workers, the Portuguese people. It's not the banks, it's not the government, it's we are.
Portugal enthusiastically adopted the euro, but union official Ana Oliveira says the bailout has underlined the downside of belonging to the eurozone.
We cannot manage our deficit as we want. We cannot choose the economic policy we want, but we have to accept what is imposed by the European Union.
There's even more dissatisfaction with the EU in Germany, but for different reasons. On the streets of Berlin, people complain about having to bail out other Europeans after they failed to be as prudent as the Germans.
We, the Germans, also had to face a lot of social cuts in order to avoid to get into trouble as Portugal, Ireland or Greece now is.
I mean, it's their problems, not ours. Why should we do something about it?
Many Germans feel betrayed, says Hans-Olaf Henkel, former head of the Association of German Industries. He says the public voted for a currency union, but they got what Germans call a transfer union instead.
Which means that the German taxpayer in the future will also have to support Greece, Portugal, Spain, probably Italy, and eventually France.
Supporters of the euro say such fears are certainly exaggerated, but the single currency, which was aimed at bringing European countries closer together, appears to be having the opposite effect. At the European Desk, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. By Manta, connecting millions of small business owners with new customers every day. On the web at manta.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Reports this morning say the New York State Attorney General is investigating how big banks packaged mortgages into securities during the housing boom. The investigation is said to include Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and Goldman Sachs. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has our story.
One key building block of the housing crisis was securitization, banks pooling home mortgages, then selling the securities onto investors. Now, the New York Attorney General is looking into the role Wall Street banks played. Did they know how risky these mortgage pools were and perhaps try to hide that when they marketed them to investors? This is significant because New York's Attorney General has powers that others don't, something called the Martin Act of 1921. Basically, it's a big stick, only available under New York state law, with sweeping subpoena powers and a low bar for proving financial fraud, according to Chris Whalen at Institutional Risk Analytics.
Most of the securities world operates under New York law, and insurance companies that wrote cover for mortgage-backed securities did so from New York. Combine that with the punitive aspects of the Martin Act, it really has probably more teeth.
Whalen says New York could hit targets harder than the feds, and this may signal the New York Attorney General doesn't want to go for a weaker settlement that other states are pursuing over abuses of homeowners in foreclosure. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, to a gas station here in Los Angeles that was selling gas the other day for $1.10 a gallon. Police had to direct traffic after customers lined up down the block. Turns out it was a computer glitch that went on for 4 hours before the pumps were shut down. The gas station owner says he lost $21,000. He's asking the customers who benefited to use some of their savings to buy something at his convenience store. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
You think China's economic rise is something new? Yeah, not really.
Well, China is a huge country, which throughout of its history has considered itself the central kingdom of the universe that they knew. So they have a tradition of being the dominant country.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Henry Kissinger reflects on China. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.